This message is about steps that you and I can take to avoid a negative attitude. Now, I feel like often when we're sitting in church and listening to messages, someone giving a message, we feel like they probably sat down, maybe spoke to their strengths, put together a message on a subject that they know something about. If it's a problem, maybe they've solved it. If it's a struggle, maybe they've beaten it. If it's a skill, perhaps they've mastered it. Of course, that is not true in general. In this case, with me, with this subject, that could not be farther from the truth. This is a message that I put together because I'm in the midst of what I would call a consuming struggle with negativity, and I'm desperate to rise above it. So hopefully, this message can help all of us. I broke it down into three steps. We'll start with step one. If you control your words, you control your attitude. At least that's a place to start. Your negativity impacts the people around you, and misery loves company. Don't be the one that takes others down with you when you're having a tough go of it. This past week, I was up in South Dakota working with my brothers on a project. It was kind of a mad dash trip up, work for a few days, and then come back down. But while we're working, we had the opportunity to discuss some things, and something came up. My brother made a statement or a revelation that he had had. We're all adults. We all have kids. We all have careers. And we finish our work day, and it's a tough day. We come home to our no doubt doting wife, and they ask how our day's been. And our automatic response is often to delve into this person did this and this didn't go that way, and we can perpetuate that negativity in our life. And he made the suggestion, it's something that he's tried to work on and something that I've tried to work on in the few days I've had the opportunity since. Try not to bring those troubles home. When you're asked, how was your day? You can respond, it's better now. That's step one, just one little thing you can try. Step two, acknowledge that it's not your strength that's gonna make things better. First scripture today is Matthew 6 and verse 25 through 27. I'll note that all of these scriptures, one of these got a little bit long, but I struggle, especially seems like the ones I was looking at today. You want to just cut it down to what you need, but it seems like there's so much that's pertinent. Matthew 6 and verse 25, starting in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet the heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? Another verse that I wanted to put in with this is Isaiah 40, and this is verse 29 and then 31, which reads just really nicely without verse 30 in there. Doesn't change the meaning at all. Isaiah 40 and verse 29 and then verse 31. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We of ourselves do not always have the power to overcome what's thrown at us, but if we tap into what God makes available to us, we will succeed. I don't know how many of you are familiar with a gentleman by the name of Max Lucado. Probably most of you. I don't know. He's a minister, not in the church, but he still puts out some really, really good content. Written many books, and he has a quote. Says, you'll get through this, but it won't be painless, it won't be quick, God will use this mess for good. In the meantime, don't be foolish, don't be naive, but don't despair either. With God's help, you will get through this. So my advice, step two for you all and myself, is when you find yourself circling the drain of negativity, remember to lean on God for strength to see you through the trial. Step three, let it go and put it in God's hands. When we let negativity win, we lose sight of the peace, comfort, safety, and happiness that God has in store for us. This is the one that got long, but I couldn't find where to trim it. This is Psalms 91 and verses 1 through 15. So Psalms 91, starting in verse 1. Whomever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys in midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. That's verse 7 right there. That one is worth looking into. It's a really interesting verse. Verse 8, you will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command the angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, what a beautiful promise this is, a reassuring promise, and it's the reason that we can leave the reality of a bad day behind and take comfort in the presence of our loved ones. Because that reality we all share, that reality is the promise of shelter and comfort from our Creator. So when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you can't seem to get a handle on things, feels like maybe you've lost control, step number three would be to remember that the Lord is my refuge. I took a gamble. I thought maybe we would sing 44 today, because most days we sing 44. It's a good song. In conclusion, I feel like this message is more like a primer for someone to step up here and give you some real answers to a question of how we can be a light to others around us when it seems like our whole world is crashing down. But when I think about these suggestions, it's better now. God will give me strength. The Lord is my refuge. Maybe they're not enough to get us there, but I think they're a step in the right direction. The struggle to stay positive is a fact of life, and it has to be. I will end this message with one more scripture that will hopefully take us one step closer to succeeding, because it ascribes purpose to why we must struggle. So that's a scripture in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Scripture says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we will have peace. We have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So brethren, take heart, keep your head up, keep your nose to the grinding wheel, insert whatever other favorite adages you have to just pick yourself up by your bootstraps. That's a good one. Keep a positive attitude. As Winston Churchill said, attitude is the little thing that makes a big difference.